Imagine waking up tomorrow morning, walking to your front door to leave for work, and discovering your landlord has completely changed the locks overnight.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a terrifying thought.
Right. All of your furniture, your clothes, your records, they are all trapped inside an apartment you can no longer access. And that terrifying scenario is exactly what happens in the digital world when organizations just hand over the keys to their internal communications to massive tech vendors.
Exactly.
You sign this really complex contract with a giant like Microsoft or Google. You build your entire marketing or internal communications infrastructure on their expensive proprietary tools. And, well, you essentially cross your fingers that they never alter their terms of service.
Or double their pricing out of nowhere.
Exactly. Or just shut down your account without warning. For many organizations, the stakes are simply too high for that kind of risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you factor in legal, regulatory, or, you know, strict compliance requirements. Things like maintaining email retention policies, protecting financial records, or securing audit trails.
Right.
And in those cases, data sovereignty becomes your most crucial asset. You absolutely must know the physical location where your data lives and possess the ultimate authority over who has access to it.
I completely agree.
And that is the true power of open source solutions. They allow you to replace those restrictive, expensive proprietary services with tools you actually control, and usually at a tiny fraction of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to our sponsor for this deep dive, SafeServer. They are dedicated to helping organizations find and implement the precise open source solution for their operational needs.
Right, from start to finish.
Exactly. From the critical initial consulting phase to actually deploying and operating the software on secure servers located within the EU, they ensure you own your infrastructure. You can find more information about how they help organizations reclaim their data sovereignty at www.safeserver.de.
Shifting from a lease black box platform to a self-owned infrastructure, I mean, it fundamentally redefines an organization's risk profile.
Yeah, how so?
Well, you are no longer hoping a Silicon Valley giant respects your business model. You are operating an engine where you hold the only set of keys.
And that concept of holding the keys really drives our mission for today's deep dive into the source material.
Mm-hmm.
We are examining an open source software platform called FeepList. And the goal here is to provide a completely jargon-free entry point into understanding what FeepList is, how it operates under the hood, and why it presents such a viable alternative to locked-in proprietary email platforms.
And just to frame the scale of this software, the raw data from the sources is quite revealing.
Oh, yeah. The numbers are wild.
Yeah. We are not analyzing some niche, you know, weekend coding project here. FeepList is an enterprise-grade engine deployed across 70 countries.
70 countries. That's huge.
And in just the past 12 months, users have pushed over 58.4 million emails through this specific platform.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because 58.4 million emails in a single year requires massive server stability.
It really does.
Most of us are used to like firing off a newsletter through a commercial service where the technical routing is just hidden behind a colorful dashboard.
Right, a very simplified front end.
Yeah. So when we look at the underlying architecture, how does an open source engine like FeepList handle packet delivery differently than those proprietary giants?
Well, the primary architectural difference lies in its dedicated focus on singular high-volume delivery.
Yep.
Proprietary platforms often become bloated by trying to be everything at once, you know, a CRM, a social media scheduler, an ad manager.
Like a Swiss Army knife that doesn't cut very well.
Exactly. But FeepList is engineered to do one primary thing with maximum efficiency. It just delivers a single email campaign to a massive subscriber database.
Right.
The architecture is built for seamless scalability. So a local bookstore can use it to send a plain text weekly update to 300 loyal readers. And a multinational NGO can use that exact same core code to distribute critical alerts to 3 million global recipients.
Wow. Using the exact same software.
Yes, the exact same engine. The software manages the outgoing server connections, pacing the delivery so the emails don't trigger spam filters on the receiving end.
But what does the actual composition process look like? Because a persistent myth about open source software is that you need a computer science degree just to draft a message.
Oh, wait.
I think people picture a blinking cursor on a black command line screen where you have to write raw code just to say hello.
No, no, not at all. The interface is entirely managed through a standard web browser, and it operates very similarly to modern content management systems.
Okay, so it's visual.
Yeah, you are presented with a clean composition window where you determine the format. You can select plain text for immediate, highly deliverable alerts, or you can utilize an HTML editor to construct visually complex layouts.
Right.
But the mechanism that truly streamlines the workflow is the templating engine.
How does that work?
Well, in many proprietary systems, you drag and drop your text directly into a rigid visual template. If you want to change the template later, it often completely breaks your formatting. Oh, I've had that happen. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's terrible. But Pugilist handles this differently. You write your content independent of the design.
Interesting.
Then the system dynamically wraps your pre-selected design template around that content at the exact moment of processing the campaign.
That separation of content and design means you maintain a consistent visual brand across years of campaigns without having to rebuild the HTML from scratch every single time.
Exactly.
I can basically just swap the outer shell.
Yes. And beyond the visuals, you retain absolute control over the payload. You can attach PDFs or internal documents directly to the broadcast.
Okay.
You also dictate whether images are embedded directly into the email file, which increases the email size but ensures the image displays even offline, or if the images are hosted remotely on your server and linked.
Which keeps the email lightweight but requires the user to download the images upon opening.
Exactly. You get to make that choice. I want to push back on the complexity aspect, though. If an organization is full of brilliant marketers but zero developers, taking ownership of an open source engine still sounds daunting.
I get that.
Let's return to that landlord analogy from earlier. The big proprietary platforms are like renting a fully furnished apartment. It is incredibly easy to just walk in and sit down.
Right.
But building your own digital house, pouring the concrete, setting up the plumbing, that sounds incredibly labor-intensive.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the open source ecosystem has evolved specifically to solve that onboarding friction. You do not have to pour your own concrete to own the house.
Really?
Yeah. PHList offers two distinct entry points into their ecosystem. For the beginner or the non-technical team, they operate phplist.com.
Okay.
This is a pre-configured, fully maintained hosted service. The servers are already running, the software is already installed, and the security patches are managed for you.
So you are getting the immediate ease of use of a proprietary platform, but you're running the open source code. And looking at the sources regarding the pricing structure for this hosted service, I honestly had to reread the numbers twice.
They are pretty surprising.
The trial account allows an organization to send 300 messages a month for free indefinitely. Then, basic paid accounts start at one single US dollar per month.
Right.
But the high volume tier is what really caught my attention. Mm-hmm. It states you can send 1 million messages for $8 a month. Wait, I have to stop you. 1 million messages for $8.
That's right.
That sounds like a typo compared to commercial platforms that charge thousands of dollars for that exact volume.
It really does. It is a radical departure from standard pricing paradigms, and it directly illustrates the bloat associated with proprietary software.
How so?
When you pay a massive monthly fee to a commercial vendor, you are not just paying for server space to send emails. You are funding their global marketing campaigns, their corporate real estate, and their aggressive profit margins demanded by shareholders.
Fine.
Open source software development does not carry that institutional overhead. The core code is freely developed and shared.
So the $8 you pay is essentially just covering the bare metal server costs and basic maintenance of the hosting environment.
Precisely.
But let's say an organization starts on that $1 hosted plan, and over 2 years, they experience explosive growth. Suddenly, they have massive, complex, custom data integration needs that a shared hosted environment just can't accommodate.
That happens a lot.
In the proprietary world, this is the dreaded migration phase where you have to rip out all your infrastructure and move to an expensive enterprise tool.
Well, that migration nightmare is entirely bypassed here, which is why the platform is so future-proof.
Wait, how is it bypassed?
Because the underlying code is open source, your growth path is limitless. If your organization outgrows the hosted phplist.com environment, you simply request a copy of your entire database. You then run your own dedicated servers, perhaps utilizing a partner like SafeServer, install the exact same free Fifeless software, and import your database. You are now entirely self-hosted.
So you just packed up your furniture and moved it into a house you fully own.
Yes, and you didn't even have to learn how to operate new appliances. The interface remains identical.
That is incredible.
Furthermore, if you are a seasonal business, say a ski resort that only sends emails from October to March, The hosted service allows you to pause your sending without deleting your installation.
Oh, that's convenient.
They maintain your inactive account, preserving your data until you are ready to send again. And for those self-hosting who still want peace of mind, the core developers of the software offer paid, direct support contracts.
So you can have the actual architects of the software on speed dial if you encounter a server issue.
Exactly.
Saving money and owning your infrastructure is fantastic, but we have to talk about the actual marketing firepower.
Right, it has to perform.
Yeah, a tool can be cheap and sovereign, but if it doesn't perform, the marketing department's going to reject it immediately.
Absolutely.
What happens mechanically when an organization actually starts importing data and trying to engage an audience?
The subscriber management engine relies on a highly structured import process. Most users bring in data via CSV or tab-delimited files generated from an external source, like a customer database, an e-commerce platform, or a CRM.
Mm-hmm.
During this import, Featlist utilizes a mechanism called a foreign key.
Let's pause on foreign key for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
For someone managing a database of 50,000 users, what is that actually doing in the background to prevent a disaster?
A foreign key acts as a persistent digital fingerprint for every single subscriber. Imagine a user named Jane Smith who initially signs up with her email address.
Okay.
6 months later, Jane gets married, changes her last name to Jane Doe, and updates her preferences to indicate she only wants plain text emails. Without a foreign key, importing your updated CRM data might create a completely new duplicate profile for Jane Doe, while the old Jane Smith profile continues to receive unwanted HTML emails.
Oh, that would be a mess.
Exactly. The foreign key ensures the system recognizes the underlying identity. It simply overwrites Jane's old attributes with the new data, perfectly synchronizing your lists without ever creating duplicates.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because managing an email list isn't just about hoarding as many addresses as possible.
No, it's not.
It is about actively curating the quality and responsiveness of that list. I like to conceptualize HList's automated management features as a highly disciplined digital bouncer working the door of an exclusive event.
I like that. Let's explore the mechanics of that bouncer. How is it filtering the crowd?
First, you have the double opt-in mechanism. When someone fills out a form, the bouncer doesn't just let them in.
Right.
It sends a confirmation link to their inbox. The bouncer is essentially checking their ID twice to verify they own that address and genuinely want the invitations.
Crucial step.
Then you have the message queue. In marketing, a single user might end up on three different segmentation lists, say VIP customers, local residents, and recent buyers.
Oh, yeah.
If you send a campaign targeting all three lists, a poorly designed system will spam that user with three identical emails.
Which is incredibly annoying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Featlist bouncer checks the queue, sees the users on multiple lists for the same campaign, and ensures they are only handed one single invitation.
Mm.
But I think the most critical function is the automated bounce processing.
The bounce processing is vital because internet service providers ruthlessly penalize senders who repeatedly message dead addresses.
They will just block you entirely.
Exactly. Mechanically, the software distinguishes between different types of delivery failures.
Hmm.
If an email encounters a soft bounce, meaning the recipient's inbox is temporarily full or their server is briefly offline, the system places that address in a holding pattern and attempts delivery again later. However, if it encounters a hard bounce, meaning the email address or the entire domain no longer exists, the system automatically strips that address from your active sending list.
So the bouncer tears up their VIP card immediately,
yeah.
So you never waste server resources or damage your sender reputation on them again.
Exactly.
And when you give the subscriber agency over their own data, you reduce those bounces organically. The software allows users to log into a personalized portal to update their own email addresses or shift their subscription preferences without involving your staff.
Mm.
They aren't held hostage on a list.
And this connects directly to the philosophy of permission marketing. The most effective marketing happens when the recipient actively welcomes the message.
Right.
To enforce this, Featlist features a rigid do not send list. When a subscriber clicks unsubscribe, their digital fingerprint is permanently added to this block list.
Permanently?
Yes. Even if your marketing team accidentally reimports an old CSV file containing that user's email 6 months later, the system physically overrides the import and refuses to send to them.
That is so smart.
Respecting the inbox builds brand trust, and trust drives engagement.
But you can't have high engagement without targeted relevance. Which brings us to the segmentation tools. The sources detail unlimited list segmentation based on custom attributes.
Right.
So if an organization wants to send a hyper-specific campaign targeting only subscribers located in Berlin who registered within the last 45 days and who prefer HTML formatting. The database can filter for those exact overlapping attributes.
Mm-hmm.
You can even apply an exclude list to actively block a specific subgroup from receiving a broader blast.
And once you dispatch that hyper-targeted campaign, you need empirical data on its performance.
Right, you need to know if it worked.
Exactly. The software provides comprehensive inbuilt statistical tracking. The dashboard reveals total open rates, specific link click-through rates, and message forwarding metrics.
Okay.
You can analyze this data in aggregate across a whole campaign, evaluate the performance of a single URL within the email, or even drill down into the behavioral data of an individual subscriber.
And that granular tracking is the exact mechanism required for A/B testing.
Yes, it is.
An organization can draft two different subject lines, subject A and subject B. They segment out a tiny fraction of their list, say 10%. 5% receives A, 5% receives B.
Mm-hmm.
The system tracks the open rates over 24 hours. Once the statistical winner emerges, the system automatically deploys the more successful subject line to the remaining 90% of the database.
It's a fantastic feature. And if an organization requires even deeper behavioral tracking beyond the email itself, the platform supports external integrations.
Like what?
You can link campaign tags directly to Google Analytics to watch how subscribers navigate your website after clicking.
Okay, but what if you don't want to use Google?
Great point. For organizations requiring strict adherence to data privacy, they can route their tracking through open source PWIC. This ensures that the post-click analytics remain entirely self-hosted and completely invisible to third-party data brokers.
So what does this all mean when we evaluate the ultimate viability of this tool? We have established it has the heavy-duty features of a modern marketing suite.
Yes.
But I have to push back on the security aspect. You are telling me a decentralized group of volunteer developers contributing to GitHub is somehow building more secure software and releasing faster security patches than a multi-billion dollar tech corporation with an entire floor dedicated to cybersecurity.
Well, yes.
How does that actually work in practice?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of open source philosophy, we are talking about Linus's Law. Given enough eyeballs, all bugs are shallow.
Okay, unpack that.
In a proprietary corporation, the code is a closed black box. Only a small, finite team of salaried engineers is legally allowed to look at the engine.
Right.
They have massive blind spots. In the Fabulous ecosystem, you have a massive global community of thousands of developers, system administrators, and security researchers constantly scrutinizing the core code.
So if a vulnerability is discovered, it is immediately flagged in their Mantis bug tracker.
Exactly.
And the sources show exactly how fast that community moves. There is a documented GitHub commit for version 3.6.16 released in May 2025, which explicitly included rapid security improvements developed, tested, and pushed by the community.
It is a continuous living audit. You can observe this collaborative engine functioning daily in their user forums.
Yeah, so that.
A recent thread featured a user asking highly technical, well, the title was Cron Questions running a 13,000 email list.
Let's clarify Cron for the listeners, because that sounds like heavy back-end jargon.
Fair enough. A Cron job is simply a time-based task scheduler on a server.
Okay.
Instead of a human sitting at a desk manually clicking send 13,000 times, the Cron job tells the server to wake up every 5 minutes, grab a batch of 300 emails, send them, and go back to sleep.
Ah, so this automated pacing is what prevents your server from crashing or being flagged as a spammer.
Precisely. And in that forum thread, experienced system administrators from around the world were voluntarily analyzing the user's server logs, troubleshooting their batch limits, and optimizing their cron schedule for maximum deliverability.
And that global collaboration extends beyond just writing code. It directly impacts usability. Through their dedicated translation system, volunteers collaborate phrase by phrase to localize the software.
Right.
They make the interface available in over 20 languages. And this isn't machine translation. These are native speakers, ensuring the tool is globally accessible.
Which is amazing. But this raises an important question about the ultimate goal of all this infrastructure. We return to the concept of data sovereignty.
Right.
How does the software actually protect the data once it resides inside the secure, self-hosted environment?
Well, it leverages inbuilt tools that cut out the middlemen. By utilizing the platform's native link tracking, instead of routing clicks through a third-party marketing service, you actively shield your subscribers' behavioral data. Their click patterns aren't being scraped, aggregated, and sold to the highest bidder by an external data broker.
And because you hold the only set of keys, your database truly remains your exclusive property. The software features comprehensive export
So
capabilities.
you're never locked in.
Exactly. Even if you are utilizing the highly affordable hosted phplist.com tier, you maintain the absolute right to generate an export file of your entire subscriber history, download it to your local machine, and just walk away. There are no artificial barriers holding your audience hostage.
And taking ownership of your audience really brings our deep dive full circle, right back to the mission of our sponsor, SafeServer. Organizations of every size, from growing mid-sized businesses to nonprofit associations and sprawling enterprise groups, stand to gain an enormous operational advantage by transitioning to an open-source solution like SeepList.
Absolutely.
You achieve total data ownership, you establish ironclad privacy practices because you are no longer feeding your proprietary subscriber data into the gaping maw of a commercial tech giant. And as we detailed, with that staggering $8 for a million emails metric, the financial savings can completely alter your marketing budget.
It's a game changer.
Making the leap to self-hosted open-source software doesn't mean you have to figure out server configurations alone. SafeServer is available for dedicated consulting. They will evaluate your specific use case, help you securely deploy this exact software, or assist in finding a comparable open-source alternative perfectly tailored to your unique operational requirements. You can explore how they help organizations build sovereign infrastructure at www.safeserver.de.
Evaluating the foundation your organization relies upon is not just an IT exercise, it is a strategic imperative. The architecture of the tools you deploy will inherently dictate the boundaries of your future growth and the security of your most valuable assets.
Which leaves us with one final critical thought for you to ponder as you step away from this deep dive. Examine the proprietary email or marketing platform you rely on today. If the vendor managing that platform suddenly shut down their servers tomorrow morning, or if they arbitrarily updated their terms of service and locked you out of your own account, would you still have a functioning communications network? Or are you merely paying a massive premium to rent temporary access to your own audience?